Morning.
Morning.
Welcome. What a beautiful day, isn't it? The Lord has blessed us today with a wonderful sunshiny day. And of course, now we needed to rain, and he knew that too, didn't he? It's good to see you. And as we get started off into 2024, everybody all ready? Got all your resolutions made up and everything?
Yes, sir.
On track? All right. Before we begin worship, there's some announcements listed in your bulletin. See those, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project to support the veterans. They meet on Mondays 9 to 12. You're invited to participate in that. January the 7th, which is today at 5 p.m., our quarterly business meeting here at the church. Choir practice, January 10th, 6:30. Thursday the 11th, Bible study at 10 a.m. Deacons will meet at 6:30 p.m. Ladies Auxiliary will meet Sunday the 21st at 4 p.m. Ladies Auxiliary. Choir practice the 24th at 6:30 p.m. And on January the 28th, Sunday, there will be a Ladies Auxiliary fundraiser meal after the morning worship service. Those of you receiving the Field Baptist Community Magazine, or if you wish to receive it, the renewals are due for 2024. See Linda Fay. And those of you that are interested in participating and experiencing God's study, see Dennis or Leanne, or you can sign up in the Sunday School building. There's also a study for teen experiencing God's study. You can see Selena Gray on that. If you need to use the facility here, Church Sanctuary Fellowship Hall, see Donna Smith. You can call her and get that booked up. Do we have any other announcements? If not, let's begin worship. Turn to 8:13. Glory be to the Father, and stand together as we sing. 8:13. Bulletins, and let's read together the responsive reading. A new day has dawned, a new year has begun.
Lord, call us so we may hear your voice.
Grant to us hopes and dreams of the future.
Lord, keep us in your ways and on your path.
We enter this new year with hope and excitement. Let us trust you, God, with all our heart.
Lord, guide us as we look to you and worship you.
God, I praise and worship you, exalt your name. I thank you that you're our creator and you provide everything that we need. And as we enter this new year, help us to walk with you, to go forward in your work and do those things that you would have us to do. Work through our lives as we go throughout life, and bless us as we worship today. In Christ's name, amen. Turn to 288, We Three Kings, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Oh,
may be seated. Billy Ord has our scripture reading today.
Good morning. Happy New Year again. Our Old Testament scripture is coming from Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And the New Testament scripture reading is taken from Mark 1, 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to mention this morning?
Patricia Smith,
okay.
Remember Harry Miller, Junior, he's in the hospital. He's been in the unit, but he's on the floor now. And I don't know what the room number is.
So. All right.
Carolyn Smith,
okay.
Jeffrey Kennedy.
Alan Jay, okay. Any
and
others?
I also remember Crabtree, that's Judy Malpas' sister, has had complications from the surgery.
Okay. Any others? There are many needs listed on the bulletin on the back. We need to continue to remember Greg. And there's a lot of folks who've been sick and are still sick. So we'll pray for them. And through it all, God's been good to us and he's blessed us. And we certainly need to thank him for that. So let's take time to pray this morning.
Let's pray. And we're glad to have our mercy and witness today. Lord, we see you work and we know you're just with us all the way. We have so many needs, Lord, many people who are in great need of your healing hand. We pray and know that you're working for each one. We love you, Lord, and we're so thankful that we can come on this hill.
Turn to your hymn book to hymn number 291. Stand as we sing 291. Oh, sing a song of Bethlehem. I've never heard this song before, have you? I did look it up. Bill warned me. It's a folk tune from 1893. In 1899, a lawyer and a minister wrote the words, and the song was published in 1899. So it's a hymn that tells the story of Jesus from his birth all the way up to his death on the cross. So pay close attention to the lyrics as we sing, Oh, Sing a Song of Bethlehem, 1, 3, and 4, verses 1, 3, and 4. Amen. May be seated. stand for the doxology. Be seated. Our scripture day text today comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You've probably heard it many times. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Our thought today is high-res living. Res meaning resolution, okay? So we'll get there in a minute. I want to start a series called Straight Ahead. For the next few weeks, we'll be looking at how to move forward in key areas of our lives. And I think we need to do this because many times we can get comfortable with where we are. You know what I mean? And we like the disciples, when they saw Jesus transfigured, they wanted to build a building and they wanted to camp there with him and just kind of stay where they're at, their little comfort zone. But, you know, you can't walk with God and stay where you are. If you want to walk with God, you got to be willing to grow and to change and to move forward, to go straight ahead. I know how it looked like, what it feels like to look back and say, "My goodness, I'm in the same place I was 10 years ago." But I also know how it feels to look back over a short period of time, just a few months, and say, "My goodness, God has done so much in my life, and God has changed me, and He has put a lot of distance between me and the person I used to be. Between me and the situation I used to be in." And this is normal life with God. He loves us and He takes us like we are, but He's not content to let us stay there. He wants us to move on straight ahead. Now, there's some biblical principles that cause this kind of progress to take place in our lives. And I want to look at these. One, the first principle today we're going to look at is called the principle of perspective. Perspective. Think about perspective. And when we think about perspective in our Christian walk, it's learning to see things as God sees them. Do you know that God sees things a lot differently than we see them? Do you know that God sees things more precisely than we see them? Steve carried his 2.5-year-old daughter out one day on a walk, and they passed by a house in their neighborhood, and it had this great big tree in the front yard, and their neighbor was up in the tree, perched on a limb on a branch there and couldn't be seen in the leaves. And as they walked by, he said, "Hey, Steve, how's it going?" And Steve said, "Fine. How's it going with you?" And he said, "Fine," as he and his daughter continued to walk down the walk. And a minute or two later, a little girl looked at him and said, "Dad, that tree just talked to you." And Steve laughed and said, "Well, it kind of looks that way, don't it?" And she said, "How does it know your name?" From her perspective, and from her understanding of how the world works, trees could talk. And she wanted to know, how do you get on a first name basis with them? That's a kid's perspective. An adult would understand that it's not a talking tree. There's a person up there, even if it's hard to see them behind the branches with leaves. That's the difference between a child's perspective and a grown-up perspective. In the spiritual world, it works the same way. When we try to interpret things according to our perspective and our limited understanding of the world, sometimes we're way off the mark. Steve was able to explain to his daughter that it really wasn't a talking tree. There was a man standing on one of the branches, and he happens to be someone he knew. And in the same way, God has revealed his perspective on the world around us. The process of growing in the Christian life is learning to see this perspective, God's perspective. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul tells us, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." We need to learn how to stop seeing and thinking and reasoning like spiritual children and learn instead how to see, think, and reason like a spiritually mature adult. We need to see life from God's perspective. You can't successfully navigate in this world if your perspective is there's talking trees out there. And I need to get on a first-name basis with them. You can't successfully navigate this world when you see yourself and others in the situations around you from a child's perspective. We must put away childish things and learn to see the world as God sees it in order to walk with God. And this is what Paul was referring to when he said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." For the next few minutes, I want to talk about renewing the mind. I'm going to challenge you to do a checkup for the neck up. And reevaluate your perspective in three key areas so that we can together begin to put away childish things and start to view the world from God's perspective. So what does it mean to renew your mind? The first thing I would say is we must see ourselves as God sees us. You must see yourself as God sees you. People tend to swing between one of two extremes. One extreme is they're down on themselves all the time. They think, "I'm a terrible person. I'm worthless. I have nothing good to offer to the world. I'm all but finished. We're doomed. We may as well give up. The world's coming to an end. It's all over." The other extreme is when people think they're better than everybody else. A man once said, "Long ago, I came to grips with the fact that wherever I go, I'll be the smartest person in the room." You ever know anybody like that? Someone so full of themselves that when they enter the room, you feel compelled. You have that compelling urge to leave immediately. We find the proper balance when we learn to see ourselves according to God's perspective. It's revealed to us in Scripture. What is God's perspective? It's this. Even though your life may be marred by sin, even though, like every person on the planet, you've done things that are wrong, things you surely regret, some of them secret, in spite of this, you're a person of great value to God. God loves you. He cherishes you. He pursues you. And in the Bible, it even says that God rejoices over you with singing. You matter to him so much that he sent Jesus Christ into the world to die on a cross for your sins. And he considered you worth the sacrifice of his life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, some people might say, "Well, I don't need anyone to die on the cross for my sins." Others may say, "Well, I'm not a sinner. I don't need a Savior." But yet their lives are a mess. The relationships are in turmoil. They can't get through a day without some kind of state-altering substance, and still they insist they're fine and they don't need God's help. It makes me want to ask them, have you talked to any trees lately? I want to be very clear here. The message of the gospel is not that you're just a terrible person. It's true. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And some think that's the only message that we should preach. But the message of the gospel is no matter what has happened in the past, God loves you and he believes in you and he offers you life in Christ and he can help you become the person you are capable of. Of becoming when you place your life in his care. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Paul goes on to say that for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God just doesn't see you as someone who just needs to be forgiven. He sees you as someone who has the potential to become good when you become like him. Not full of yourself, but full of him, full of his presence, with the power to walk in his righteousness. Jesus didn't come into the world and die on the cross, so you should continue to live in failure and defeat. So you could keep losing the same 10 pounds over and over and over again. Keep going through the same reorganization over and over again. And keep being crushed by the same bad habits again and again and again. Keep wallowing in the same miserable circumstances day after day. No. God created you to have and to live in victory. He created you to live a full and happy and healthy and well-adjusted and meaningful, eventful, and purposeful life. He created you with the potential to change and the power to change and to become like him. And if there's any thought in your head or a voice in your head or your ear to the contrary, take it for what it is. It's just talking trees. In order to stay on track and keep moving straight ahead with God, you've got to learn to view reality from God's perspective. And this begins with seeing yourself as God sees you. But it's not just you. It also means you need to see others as God sees others. We tend to divide the world according to us and them. Even worse, we tend to divide the church in terms of us and them. Us who are theologically on target 99.9% of the time, and them who are only on target when they admit we're right. We divide the church in terms of us and them. Those who prefer this style of worship, them that prefer that style of worship, and them who like these kinds of song, and those who like those kinds of songs, and those who believe this way, and them that believe that way. We make the mistake of thinking that God's opinion of others is the same opinion as ours, whether they're inside or outside the church. But you know what? Our opinion of others is not necessarily God's opinion of others. In church, we need to realize that God's opinion of others is the same as his opinion of you and me. No matter who they are, when God loves you, he loves them. He sent Jesus down the cross for your sins, and he sent Jesus to die on the cross for their sins. And when it comes to sin, they don't get a free pass, and neither do you. When it comes to mercy, it's available to them and it's available to you. And they have the same capacity for holiness as you. And the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives just as he is in work in your lives. And just like you need to have a holy and healthy and biblical perspective on who God made you to be, you must have a holy and healthy and biblical perspective on others that God created. The challenge is to learn to see people inside and outside the church from God's perspective. During the first century, a man named Saul became a fierce enemy of Christianity. The Bible says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Christians were afraid of this man, with good reason. He was out to get them, and he was good at it. And one day he was on his way to Damascus with the purpose of putting more Christians in prison, and he had this life-changing encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And from that experience, he became a sold-out and a radical follower of Jesus. He even changed his name from Saul to Paul, and he began planting churches all over the world. He wrote about a third of the New Testament. We now call him St. Paul, and these are his words that we read earlier. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. After his conversion, the first century Christians had a hard time of believing the news that was circulating among the churches. Then this man who was once their greatest enemy, this man who had made havoc throughout all the churches, was now their beloved brother. It was true. And that's the power of God. And we need to remember that every havoc wreaking Saul has the potential to become a world-changing Paul. No one is too far gone for God's grace. And we must keep this in mind, not only when we look in the mirror, but we look at people around us every day. In order to move straight ahead in life, in order to walk with Jesus, we must learn to view reality from God's perspective. And that means you see you as God sees you. And it means that you see others just like God sees others. And there's not that much difference. And also, to be renewed in our mind and to get God's perspective, the third thing I would say is we need to see each situation as God sees each situation. iTunes can tell you how many times you've listened to a song. A YouTube can tell you how many times that song's been listened to. I listened to a song this week. It was not that old, but it already had over 75 million views. It's fascinating. I find it fascinating that you can keep count of what you're listening to or how much attention is being paid to a particular song. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that with our thoughts? What if we could have put an app in our brain that would tell us, this past year you entertained this thought this many times. The situation is hopeless. This problem is too big for God to handle. I'll take care of it myself. How many times would the app say, I've given into despair and wallowed in my self-pity? Or, they're not like us. They're beyond God's mercy. Now, I won't speculate on specific numbers, but I will tell you that it probably more than zero. And the truth is, according to our tree-talking perception of the world, we sometimes genuinely and sincerely believe that situations are beyond God's ability. God's ability to understand. God's ability to change with his power. You know, in our tree-talking perception of this world. Sometimes we believe that situations are hopeless and that despair is really the only rational thing. But I want you to understand today that it is not impossible, that it is impossible to move straight ahead if you believe that life is random and chaotic and it's a mess and that God don't care and ain't nothing he can do about it. That's not the God we encounter in the Bible. It's about a God that has the power to act in any given situation, no matter what it is or where it is or how it is. And after many years of following, I can say that that's not the God we encounter in day-to-day life either. You know, we may see a situation as impossible, but the Bible reminds us that with God, what? All things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. We may see a situation as the worst thing that could possibly happen, but beloved, let me tell you something. You better get ready for God to act when you get in a situation like that, because that's when he's at his best, he said, because the Bible says when you're weak, that's when God is at his strongest. And God causes all things to work together for good. And we may think the world is random and chaotic, but the Bible reminds us that God is actively at work every day, and he has a purpose and a plan for history, and it's our best bet to get involved in his plan, his purpose, and to know his will. Because that's how we experience God. If you want to move straight ahead in your life, if you're tired of just being where you've always been, doing the same old thing you've always done, decide today. You'll learn to see each situation as God sees each situation. In conclusion, my mom had this very old tube-type analog TV. And it was huge, great big old thing, man. That thing, you had to have a pickup truck to haul it in some. And it was blurry and squiggly and snowy. I mean, it was pretty bad. So one year we decided we're going to get Mama a new TV. We're going to get her a big screen. We're going to get her a high definition, high resolution, big screen TV. And we were all excited. We were looking forward to that dramatic change that was bound to happen when we unplugged that old one and we plugged up that new one. And you know what? The difference was amazing, huh? If you don't believe it, you go back and look at one of them old tube types. And then you plug into that high resolution, huh? TV like you've never seen it before. From blurry and squiggly to sharp, clear, and focused. And that's the challenge today. It's for you to go to a high def in your view of reality. Challenging us all to move beyond a blurry, squiggly, analog worldview and plug into a high definition receiver, Jesus Christ. Challenge you to learn to see the world through God's perspective. And this is made possible only with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a religion, but a relationship. A real, personal, meaningful relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I'll read Romans 12:2 again, and I'm going to read it from the Message because it kind of blows it up for us. A little high resolution reading here. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. He carries you from an analog, cloudy, blurry TV to high resolution." Amen?
Amen.
In order to stay on track and keep moving straight ahead in life, we've got to learn to view reality from God's perspective. Church, it's time to go to high-resolution living with Jesus and resist the temptation to stop and just talk to trees. Are you ready?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word today. Everything we've preached is possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Carry us to where you want to carry us. And as you walk with us, change us and help us to be just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand turn to 267. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. 267, verses 1 through 4. To worship with you today. Thank you all for coming and bringing the spirit of worship and the joy of Christ as he lives in our hearts. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave?
I do.
Well, come on.
I can say it from here.
All right. All right. Everybody's got to hear now. You got to speak up.
I talked to you last week about a prayer team that Miss Shirley and I have felt led to begin here, and I ask you to pray and I've prayed all week for God to send us prayer warriors for our prayer team. And if you have been led by God to participate in this, if you will meet me right over here after the benediction, less than 5 minutes. Thank you.
What an opportunity. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you for being present with us today, and we thank you for speaking to us through your word, through song, and through your people. And we thank you for the message we've received. Bear fruit in our lives as we go out into the world. Help us to be just like you, that others may be able to know you in a true and meaningful way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.